Tuali, who's 16 years of age, reportedly been offered $3 million for Rugby Australia, with the Rabbitohs also in there fighting hard for his services. So we'll have a chat with him. Liverpool and Chelsea, 84th minute, 5-3. The conversation starts for Key with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. Let's get stuck into some of the footy stories that are kicking around. And Lachie Hunter, Wispy, just taking a little break at the moment for personal reasons, indefinite as to how long he'll be out. We know that he had issues during lockdown. The club's going to continue to support Lachie. He's going to stay up on the Gold Coast, it's not surprising. It's worrying and disturbing that we're getting more and more of these players, but it's a good thing that they're not hiding it and putting their hand up and saying they need to step away.
Yep, and I think for me, Gary, as soon as somebody says they're stepping away from the game for personal reasons, then I don't think that we need to pry any deeper than that or need to find out exactly why he's stepping away from the game. I think that it's fine for him to be able to do that. He's going to stay, as you say, in the hub and work through whatever challenges he has in front of him at the moment. So we wish him well in being able to do that. The fact that he's not playing tonight means that a young man that's been on the list since 2017, he was pick 74, so he wasn't an early pick, Callum Port. He's a midfielder. Was impressive last year. Couldn't break into that midfield last year. I think he was emergency three or four times. He's a Gippsland boy, but he'll make his debut tonight. So good on him, and we wish him well. Their coach, Luke Beveridge, also had plenty to say yesterday. He said that he's excited. They're taking this whole challenge of what lays ahead head on. So obviously the messaging there will be one of real positivity, Gary. I mean, I think that's the thing that we learnt yesterday. Anytime we heard a coach speak yesterday about this new schedule, they were glowing, weren't they, in their optimism about the challenges that lay ahead.
No other way to approach it, is there? I mean, you can't sit there and bemoan the fact that you're going to have to play a lot of games in a short period of time. The AFL consulted with the players and the clubs, and the general consensus, or overwhelming consensus was, and we've heard this, is that they'd rather play than train the players. So they took on board their comments. They're in a hub. They've got nothing else to do other than play and train footy. So these are the Melbourne-based clubs at the moment, of course. West Coast and Freo and Adelaide and Port Adelaide have been in there and done their time as well. But they said, well, we're here. Let's get it on. Let's not just sit around twiddling our thumbs waiting 7 days between games. Let's jam them in. And that's the players want it, the clubs want it, and the AFL want it. They want to get games away whilst they possibly can, with no great certainty about where this COVID situation is going to take them.
It's going to be a fascinating thing, though, to watch this unfold, how clubs actually go about the way that they manage this part of the season too, because there's so many different decisions. You think about guys, as you know, that during a normal season can't train during the week for whatever reason. They've got some sort of a long-term injury and they manage it during the week. They get up and play. They play each week, but they don't get out on the track. What does it do to them? Like a shorter break? Generally, they're coming off a 6 or 7 day break. These games being compressed the way they are, those that are struggling with injuries of soft tissue nature. And I'm not just talking about guys like, say, a Trent Cotchin right now and what they're doing with Trent Cotchin, Gary. So they're looking at him and they're saying, okay, well, he's had a couple of these. We'll be a little bit more conservative in getting him back. And then he comes back and he's ready to go. But it's right in the middle of this period of time where the games are being compressed. So how many of those do you think we can play him in? Okay, let's look at our schedule. We've got this team, this team, this team. Look, I think for that game, it'd be better if we played him in that game and not that game. And then the other part to all this that the clubs don't know yet is what comes after this period of time. We know that they're playing 20 days in a row now and there's 33 games in the next 20 days. But at this point, nobody knows exactly what takes place after that. And already the AFL, in the Age this morning, I read Gil McLachlan talking yesterday about the fact that they just want to get this through as quickly as they possibly can, because nobody knows how much more this may worsen and how debilitating that may be for the scheduling of the AFL.
Not a great time to get an injury like Carl Hooker, because you normally might miss 3 games, you might miss 6, given the way that this is hit, the condensed nature of this draw. So they are all very, very interesting things. Hey, Paddy Dangerfield was on Footy Classified last night. I want to start with his frustrations about the pneumococcal vaccinations that the Indigenous players were forced to have. It was the AFL came out quickly and apologised, and I think they'd be very thankful that there's not too much more that's been heard about it. Let's have a listen to what he had to say last night.
Yeah, really disappointed, Caro. And it's as simple as that. It's something that we weren't involved with, and clearly the AFL has since acknowledged that. And you spoke Monday about it being a deeply complex issue. But at the same time, it's pretty simple. There should be a pretty clear structure in place in terms of how we educate players on the processes that are going forward rather than miss the mark the way that we have.
It is pretty simple. It is. It should be a consultative process before you start making those decisions. And they got every right, the AFL Players Association and the Indigenous players, to be outraged by what took place. And the AFL had no choice other than to put their hand up and say, yeah, we got it horribly wrong.
They got it horribly, terribly wrong. They did, and they've apologised to all parties. Whether or not that's going to satisfy everybody, it seems to me there's been a lot that was discussed over the weekend in the early part of this week, but I think it seems to me that people have been satisfied with that explanation, although it was clumsy.
We talked also about congestion. Now, these are really interesting comments here. Talking about congestion on the ground and some of the issues that we're all dealing with from a spectacle and aesthetic point of view when we're watching footy. This is his comments on that and how maybe we can make it better.
It is reducing the number of players on the ground. And that purely, Ed, for me, is just having seen some of the practice games that we've had where it has been 16 aside. You had two less on the ground. The idea that there would be more free-flowing, more scoring, more enjoyment for the fans.
16 aside on the ground. Wisp, do you think that's going to be a reality at some stage down the track?
My view on this is that we should try these things and they should be experimented with away from, the AFL. Like, not introduce it to the AFL, obviously, until it's been trialled in practice games and that type of thing and people have a look at it. And I don't think that we should rush to make a major change like that without just cooling our jets and having a deep, considered view about what it means and how it changes the game, because that is a massive difference to our game to take two players from the field and play with 16. I wouldn't rush to that, would you?
I wouldn't be making an assessment on the basis of having open practice matches where there's nothing on the line at all, where it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter. In fact, there's no significance placed on practice matches at all. That wouldn't be the body of work that I'd be making a decision. So the next progression for that would be to try it in a sort of NAB Cup, JLT Cup game. Again, though, there's not that much riding on it. What happens is that you make the call, 16 aside comes into an AFL season, straight away the coaches and their eight assistants go to work and the scenario wouldn't be any different.
Well, as we talked about yesterday, to every action, there's a reaction. And can I just play? This is Luke Beveridge talking about the holding the ball interpretation. And this is the thing that people everywhere are talking about right now. The players included Patrick Dangerfield also had some interesting conversation about that last night. Have a listen to Luke Beveridge yesterday talking about this change to the interpretation.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a told-you-so guy, but it's exactly what's happening. You know, I knew at the time that it was going to be history repeating itself. Yeah, I think now we're going through an adjustment back to what it was.
An adjustment back to what it was. Do you think that that's what's happened in the last couple of weeks, that the interpretation, and we know this was about, players not having prior opportunity, but once they have the ball, about trying to release the ball as quickly as they possibly can. Do you think we're actually just morphing back to what it was pre this whole interpretation change?
I don't... Well, whether it does or it doesn't, I don't think that's what the AFL want, Wisp, when I go back to Stephen Hocking yesterday, who said it's got nothing to do with prior opportunity. It's a genuine attempt to move the ball on, and that's what they're going to continue to coach. So I don't think they want it to go back to where Lukey Beveridge is suggesting it was. They just want the stricter interpretation of players attempting to move the ball on rather than hatching it.
Well, former AFL boss Peter Schwab's quote in the Herald Sun today says there's no easy fix for holding the ball dilemma. The holding ball rule is just so complex, I don't know the answer. Now, that's somebody who was employed at one point in time to try. That's what he was doing 24/7, trying to work out what was the best way to adjudicate this. And that's him saying, well, I don't know. It's just too complex. I don't know that there's a better way.
You can join in this conversation at any time, 1-300-736-736, or send your temper text messages through, which you are. Stop the ruck nominations. I like that. Clint, who we've been on that as well. That's got to be thrown out. That slows the game down, I think. Stop that ruck nomination. Chuck it up. Chuck it over your head. Get the game moving. I like that. Hey, I like this too from Jordan Lewis. I thought he handled it beautifully last night on AFL 360. He was a subject after speaking with us to a nice little serve from Jeffrey Kennett, and his comeback, I think, was just about perfect.
And then he wanted to come out, I suppose, on Monday and take a different path, and that was to have a go at me, so that would hopefully get some coverage and then detract from his comments that were made on the Sunday. I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me, really, if he doesn't listen to my football knowledge. I certainly know it's a lot better than his.
I don't think you can argue with that, can you?
No, you can't argue with that part of it. No, I thought he responded beautifully. I thought he responded beautifully too. Can I... There's a picture. I don't know if you've got a copy of the Herald Sun in front of you this morning, but there's a picture on page 66 of the Herald Sun, okay? The headline says, "Shaken, not erred. Courageous Roo would fly again. North Melbourne's Kyron Hayden receives treatment." So there's the club doctor putting his neck in a brace after that collision against Richmond at the weekend. He's been cleared to play this weekend. Does that... This is about messaging as probably as much as anything. Is this the right message to be sending out, given what we know about head knocks and head trauma and concussions and that type of thing? And I'm not privy to any information about how long he might have been knocked out for, but it looked like he was knocked out at the time. And there's all different ways of determining concussion. I understand all that. I know all that. And I know that they're not going to be negligent. The North Melbourne doctors are not going to be negligent around this either, given the focus that's on it. But it just seems to me to be wrong. It just seems that in this day and age, when that happens to somebody, that they're then cleared to play the following week, it just appears to be wrong.
Right. And let's just get this straight up. We're not... The North Melbourne doctors would be doing the absolute right thing by the young kid. So let's try and take it out of the hands of the medicos. If you're at the point where you stretch it off because you've either knocked out or
however... I think he walked off. I think he actually walked off in the end, did he?
Oh, did he walk off?
I think he wanted to walk. Well, maybe he didn't. Maybe
I don't
he,
think
sorry,
he
maybe...
walked off. I think I saw him strapped onto a stretcher.
Okay, no, he was stretching. Sorry, he said in the article, he says he wanted to walk off. Maybe, yeah, you're right.
If you get to that stage, can we take it out of the hands and just say automatic, not playing? Automatic, 1 week. We're still learning about this, aren't we? We've spoken to Peter Jess about this, the information process and how long we need to get over this. And if this wasn't a concussion, okay, that's a good thing as well. But what's 1 week in the overall scheme of things? Wouldn't we err on the side of caution?
I would like to see them err on the side of caution. I know you would like to, and I know every player that's played the game that's now currently suffering from some episode that they believe was attributed to head trauma and head knocks during their player career would probably agree with you and I. Ian's in Mackay. Yep. Good morning, Ian.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Good, Ian.
G'day, Ian.
Good. The holding the ball stuff. I just can't believe that everyone involved at the top level of the game can't understand or can't see. Surely it's got to start with a legitimate tackle. How many times does someone get penalised when there's one or two or three tacklers just flopping on top of the guy on the ball with the ball, grabbing them in headlocks, etc.? It's got to be a legitimate tackle to start with. Everyone I know that my age has followed the game for 50 years is tearing their hair out of this stuff. It's ruining the game. It's terrible.
The second and third person in tackling, is that what you're sort of talking about
there? Even the first tacklers, they're just diving on their backs and then looking at the umpire. They dragged it in, umpire. They're sitting on their backs. It's well, first thing is fun. It has to be a legal tackle.
Righto, that's a good point from Ian. He's... If you reward the tackle straight up, maybe you won't get to that situation. Maybe you won't, and your tackling technique might have to have a look at. Hey, Pete, hold on there. We'll get to you after the break. I want to talk to you about that. We've got David King's comments on North Melbourne to talk about. Maxie Gorn's opened up too about his time early days at the Melbourne Footy Club. Lots to talk about. Your calls 1300 736 736, and your temper texts are always welcome. Great to have you with us this morning. Had to go and get another jacket. So frosty in here at the moment. Icicles on the roof. It is Thursday. Round 8 is about to get underway, and round 8 needs a big game to get it underway. And there's no great surprise that the Western Bulldogs are going to feature tonight. They play an exciting brand of footy, but they've got a great opponent who also are playing exciting, entertaining footy, and it's the Gold Coast Suns. And that is a great story in and of itself. And the CEO of the Gold Coast Suns would be pretty excited about that, I reckon. Mark Evans has been good enough to join us. Welcome, Mark.
Morning, Gary. Yeah, you haven't said that too many times in the 10-year history of the club. And first time we've had a billing on a Thursday or a Friday night. So pretty excited. Absolutely.
And it's great that it hasn't just been handed to you out of, you know, some sort of a rotational policy where, oh, we've got to give the Suns something. You've thoroughly earned it, which I reckon is just about as important.
And with the beneficiaries, of normally the fixture gets set in October, so it depends on your form and appeal at that time of the year. And so it has worked to our favour that the fixture's a little bit more fluid and we can look at that. So hopefully we put our best foot forward and there's a few more to come this year.
Hey, Mark, can you point to any markers that tell you and tell us that the Gold Coast Suns are becoming more popular in that part of the world?
Well, the TV ratings in New South Wales and Queensland have been stunning across this year. There's a lot of things that lead towards that. Brisbane's form has been terrific for a couple of years and we've seen the growth here. The growth in participation in Queensland has been incredible. It's led the country across the last 10 years. And it's almost a shame that football programs were shut down for a period there. They've restarted here in Queensland and it'd be great to be able to get all these Melbourne clubs out and do some Victoria, some school appearances and things like that. But pleasingly for us, our membership is about to go through its all-time record. It was set way back in year one when there was obviously a lot of support just for the Suns coming to the coast. And what we're now finding is we're even getting people who their primary team is Richmond or Hawthorn or Melbourne. They're enjoying seeing Metricon on the TV and enjoying watching the young Suns play. And I think they're happy to part with a little bit of money to say good luck. Like to see you go well. Hope the growth of the game continues to go well. So if there are any of your listeners that want to take out a $39 membership, we'd love to have you, even if we're just your second team.
I see Gil McLaughlin has done that. Now, you got four rising stars in 7 weeks. Matt Rowe, Connor Buderick, Isaac Rankin, who looks like one of the more exciting young talents that we've seen come along in a long time, Noah Anderson. What's the club's attitude? And I saw Noah Anderson on 360. I know the other boys have done some media, that type of thing. What's the club's attitude around these young players? They're exciting. The footy world wants to see them. They want to hear from them. What are you doing internally from the club in terms of monitoring that? Because we know that clubs have pulled back in this area from time to time.
We need the world to see these kids and be a part of the journey, to see them across the journey. Now, you've got to be careful that we don't overblow that. And because they've all got reasonably good heads on their shoulders, they're not really like that in any case. But we want you to understand who they are, where they've come from. We want to tell the story that the club has set about some change. And we know that, you and I know, that young kids along the way have got a lot to learn and they'll make some mistakes. And that's all part of the journey. And so get to know these kids and watch us and hopefully we'll see some terrific careers and that they contribute to telling a different story for the Gold Coast Suns.
What is the sort of mapped out plan for Matty Rowe? He's had the surgery. Have you put a line through him for this year? Or if you make a continued charge, will he be eyeing off perhaps a final spot if you have a chance to get there?
It would be less likely. But you never know what happens with this season. If there was another delay or pause, then that might give him a glimmer. But when you've got a young kid who looks like he's going to have such a promising future, we're telling him best thing you can do is go and do a really good rehab, let the timeframes sort themselves out. Probably don't want to squash the opportunity for him because that will give him some good motivation. But at this stage, less likely.
And how important is it to get those complementary mature types right, and which you seem to have done with Greenwood. I mean, Greenwood's contribution at, you know, at the other end of the scale, Rankin's great, and these, you know, those other three boys and Buderick and Rank, Anderson and Rao, but Greenwood's been just as important at the other end.
He's been terrific and has great consistency in what he does around the contest. And Brandon Ellis is another one who's added something in an area where we needed it. And Zach Smith, surprisingly, in the pre-season, looked every bit an AFL player. If Jared Witts wasn't going so well or needed a spell, we'd be really confident that Zach would perform that role. So list build strategies can't just be one or the other these days. I don't think you need your blend of youth. If you are at the top of the ladder and have been there for a while, you might have a different focus and bring more mid-career players in. But we always thought we'd have to go to the draft for top-end talent for a couple of years and then try and complement that with some guys that have got a period of time left in their career rather than just the final stages.
Talking to Mark Evans, the CEO up there on the Gold Coast, and you just mentioned Witts and Smith, and King obviously is playing well, and Day. Where does that leave Peter Wright, though, right now?
Well, he was in our group of 30 that travelled to Wollongong in the hub, so he's right there and been playing well in these scratch matches each week. But at the moment, when the team's winning, it's hard to get him in. But I'm sure as the season now changes into this compressed format, I'm sure there'll be opportunities there for him to get into that team and hopefully go well.
Do you see him as a key position forward, or do you see him more now as a ruckman?
I think he's a key position forward that chops out in the ruck. With the shortened games, the main ruckman does more minutes. So that may change again next year, that second ruck gets a lot more of a run. So he's still got a good future ahead of him, and hopefully we'll see him in the weeks to come.
Have you had clubs inquire about him? Opposition?
No, nothing to be. It's been too early with not having been able to progress any contract discussions past the cursory commencement. So none of that. It's way too early and not even really something that we're that worried about compared to keeping our own form and progressing these young kids at the minute.
Yeah, sure. Dip, what is his contract status, just as a matter of interest?
Off the top of my head, I'm sure he's contracted out for another couple of years.
Right. How's Stewie do? I mean, to lock him away has been really important as well, so that's a great show of faith and confidence. Do you get this sense of excitement about not only him, but the whole club about tonight?
Yeah, what I love with Stewie is the moments you see to the side of the training session of the match, where he's just talking quietly to a young kid and talking him through something, whether it's kicking at goal or positioning at a stoppage. And that's his greatest strength, is his ability just to connect in with people. And to watch that blossom across the summer, in round one, we weren't sure what happened. And then we weren't sure what was going to happen in the shutdown. But all of those skills that he had, and the organisation of John Haynes and Craig Cameron, did a great job in that period, and it probably reflected in the form since we've been back.
Hey, Mark, there hasn't been too many positives around this season. It's been a challenge for everyone, but I just wonder whether or not the fact that AFL clubs, Melbourne-based clubs I'm talking about in particular here, and obviously there's been some from South Australia there too on the Gold Coast, I wonder whether or not some of the players' eyes have been open to the possibilities of maybe continuing on their careers at some point on the Gold Coast up there in Queensland. We've seen them in and out of the surf. The weather's a lot better this time of the year. Have you had your eye on that as well?
Well, we did actually say when we were doing some planning, what are the positives that could come from this shutdown and restart and hubs? And we cheekily said, we're finally going to get people to look at this part of the world and see what a wonderful environment it is to be an elite athlete. You can train hard, enormously good facilities. And when you get to go home or back to your hotel or whatever it is, you do get a mental break. The ability to get up and walk along the beach in the morning or grab a coffee. You might, a player I saw, Tom Leach and Jack Revolt, got off the bike the other day and grabbed themselves a coffee. And one person came up and asked Jack Revolt for a photo, but it wasn't 15 or 20. And I thought, maybe some of these guys are going to see the benefits of being an elite athlete in this part of the world.
Jack might have been disappointed in that, Mark, actually.
They might
keep you in
Melbourne.
Hey, you're the one down, and I'm not sure that you can do anything about this. In fact, I'm pretty sure you can't, but you're the dew, the heavy dew that falls on the ground up there at night time on the Gold Coast. Do you think that is a negative in terms of what the effect that that has on the game and the way the game's played? And is there something that you've thought about that you might be able to do about that?
I'm not sure what we can do about that, but you're right. It takes a bit of adjustment, and I think some of the teams early on would have found that with so many games now at night or early evening, or even some of the games we're going to have will be starting at 5:30. You might even feel it come in the second half. A game that starts at 7, you might feel it more in the first half until the players adjust. So we certainly like to train at night if we're playing at night. And it does help a little bit. But yeah, it is a problem in North Queensland and certainly Northern Territory and parts of the year. It certainly is at the Gabba and Metricon.
Yeah, with Mark Evans, the CEO of the Gold Coast Suns, as they prepare to take centre stage tonight against the Western Bulldogs. Mark, has the local media got behind you? Your front page of the Gold Coast Times, and have you led the news bulletins?
The Gold Coast Bulletin's having a great run with footy because there's so many teams here. And every day we would ring them and say, just make sure as you're shuffling all those footy stories that you talk about how proud you are of your own team here locally. And the paper here has resembled a Melbourne paper probably since the women's team started this year. So long may that live.
Indeed. And a win tonight will put you on the front page again tomorrow. So good luck. We're all going to be watching. I mean, as you can imagine down here, that's all we've got to look forward to at the minute. So tonight, there'll be a huge audience in front of the box watching this young Gold Coast Suns take on a really exciting Western Bulldogs. So good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Mark Evans, Gold Coast Suns CEO there. Let's get to a break. Nathan Brown to join us.
In the never-to-be-forgotten year of 2020, the champions of England again at last are Liverpool.
But you have to prepare for a party in I don't know when. This bullshit virus is gone. Then we will have a party all together. Make sure you are ready then. Thank you very much.
Your favourite man, Liverpool defeated Chelsea 5-3. They're the champions again. They lifted the trophy on the cop, and that was Jurgen Klopp who said, we'll party when the bullshies and COVID is over.
He did. He said that, and the fans, you've got to remember, Gary, the fans can't attend the game either. So normally there would have been all sorts of wild scenes there with the trophy being lifted by the players. But apparently there were some fans outside, despite pleas from authorities for fans not to attend. They were outside the stadium, and they've been lighting fireworks and all sorts of things, celebrating. So at some point, Jurgen Klopp and his men and all the fans will get to celebrate that amazing victory. Been a big, big, big season for Liverpool.
Without notice, brought to you by Urban Armour, Australian-made hand sanitizer, SEN's official hand sanitizer, available now at Urban Armour. That's armour, armour.com.au. And join in. I can't see the questions without notice, but the Wisp can, so he'll relay them through. Or you can ring through a question without notice as well. Who wins tonight is my first one for you. Gold Coast take on the Western Bulldogs tonight to kick off round 8. Which way are you leaning? Because I had a look at the footy tipster poll, and you haven't worked your way up to the top rung yet.
No, I haven't become top tier Tim yet. I thought I might have been there this week, but I'm not there. I've gone for the Bulldogs tonight, although there is a question about their consistency. I mean, they're disappointing against Carlton, although they still moved the ball okay, and they got the ball inside their attacking 50 often enough, but they got cleaned up by Carlton. They came back and they played really well against Essendon last week. And I think they might just be just a little bit too powerful, maybe just a little bit too strong and powerful for the Gold Coast Suns. But the Gold Coast Suns hang in there for a long periods of time in a game, which that always gives you a chance. What do you think?
I'm going to lean towards the Gold Coast Suns.
Okay. Right.
Just so I'm different to you. I go whoever you don't go.
I know that. I've picked that up after all this time.
Then we can have something to debate the next day.
Even though we're on the same page, you don't have the text in front of you. I do. No. Word on the street is that Joseph Swaley would be the best basketballer for his age in New South Wales too if he chose to play basketball.
He's Aussie's Bo Jackson.
There you go. There you go. And maybe if you put some tissues at the top of the Metricon Stadium, it would stop the dew, Tim. Maybe. Maybe that's an idea too.
Bit of free fever. I'll tell you what, it is liberating just to have a break from the old temper text machine.
Michael's in North Warrandyke. Good morning, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, Tim, Gary. Just on the subject of the glasses, I suffered badly yesterday with the glasses fogging up. And I just got the anti-fog that you use treatment that you put on your windscreens.
Right.
Just got an Autobahn and just wiped it in. And I did the tissue thing as well and found it worked brilliantly because I couldn't see for Jack once I started breathing. And it dissipates it really, really well. So, yeah, there's another option for everyone because there's a lot of people out there going to be suffering the same thing today.
Great
Andy
advice.
Fogg.
That is great advice.
Andy Fogg from, where was it from? From one of the Autobahn, was it?
Yeah.
Autobahn, okay. That's a great suggestion for everybody out there, Michael. You don't necessarily... Thank you, Michael. You don't necessarily wear glasses, do you, Gary? You wear sunglasses, but you don't have to wear prescription glasses, do you, when you're driving?
Yeah. No, only to read.
Yeah, right.
Not out and about. So, no, I don't have those challenges that you've got, but I think it's going to be dangerous on the roads, given what I'm hearing from you and a couple of others. Perhaps try these things out before you get behind the wheel of the car. Although, once you get in the car, if you're on your own, you can take your mask off.
That's right. Good suggestion. I won't be able to see Mitch and Jane on the desk tonight because I'll be all fogged up.
Are you going to wear the mask while you're reading the news?
No, you don't. No, you don't. You get special exemption because if you're a teacher or you're a broadcaster, there's special exemption.
Or a celebrity.
Well, no, it's got nothing. It would have nothing to do with whether people are a celebrity or not. No, I don't think it would have anything to do with that. Hey, how difficult is it right now? I'm just thinking about sort of the possibility. Essendon might play James Stewart this weekend, right? He hasn't played a senior game this year. So he came back and then he got caught up in the COVID-19 thing. So he was in isolation for a period of time. He's been able to train, all that sort of stuff. He's only been able to play scratch matches. How difficult is it for somebody just to sort of step into AFL football when you've been out of the game that long and you haven't played at that pace for such a long period of time?
Well, this year may be more difficult. I always think the first game is not as bad as the ensuing ones if you've been out for a long time. You know what I mean? I think the first time you get back, you're just so full of adrenaline and you're pumped up and your body should be pretty good because it's been well rested. So I would imagine if James Stewart's going to have an impact, I would expect him to have it in his first game as opposed to perhaps second and third down the track. And then you get into a bit of a rhythm. That's been my experiences of long layoffs and coming back and playing footy.
Right, okay.
What's going on with Cricket Australia's board that has had Michael Kasperwicz step down because he's frustrated at its leadership? What makes you do that? Is that something that's serious or is that just someone that's had enough of being on the board?
No, I think it's something that's serious. I don't have a lot of detail about it, but I believe that they still have some work to do. Cricket Australia to get themselves back on track. And I think leadership currently, good, strong leadership is one of the things that's sorely missing. And maybe that's what he's picked up on too. Maybe that's just led to his frustration.
I know our producer, who's the best in the business, will be chasing Michael Kasperwicz very hard, but I wouldn't be surprised if he bobs up with Jared or someone before we can get access to him. That's one of the challenges of doing an early breakfast program. It's difficult to get a hold of these people, but I reckon we might hear from him at some stage, Wes.
I think you're right, too. And you can get anti-fog wipes from Chemist's Warehouse, too. So Mario is selling those, too. They come in an orange box, so that's coming
Mario
off the text.
Mario is that far ahead of the game, he would have everything sorted at Chemist's Warehouse. You got it all there.
Just getting back to Bevo, okay, and what he had.
Him, aren't you?
No. I'm interested in what it is that he thinks would be the solution then to the congestion in the game, because obviously, and he said this before, about he knew this would happen. There'd be more confusion over this holding the ball decision now that we're currently experiencing. I just wonder whether or not have you heard him say at any point of time a solution to this, or did he have a strong view about what we should be doing? I'm not having a crack at him. I'm just saying that maybe there is a better way. Maybe we could have gone down another street and we wouldn't be having the same conversation.
Yeah, and I don't know whether, I'm not saying he hasn't, but I haven't heard what his solution to the problem would be. So I would look forward to hearing it. I just haven't heard it. He may have spoken about it, but I've missed it. Have you heard him?
No, I haven't. I'm interested though. Like, I am really interested in what the coaches think about the solution and what it might be. Because, you know, clearly Clarko thought that this was the answer, right? This is what we needed to do. And I think we needed to be harsher on players with the ball and how quickly they were getting rid of the ball. I just don't think that they were getting rid of the ball quickly enough. But, you know, there is... we're seeing these ridiculous scenes now out there on the ground where players are piling in on top of each other because what they're trying to do is lock that ball under the bloke on the ground. And their intention is just to create more congestion and confusion around it. So to that end, it hasn't been the solution.
Are you getting a bit sick and tired of it, or is it just going to continue? Do you think it'll run its race and we'll move on to something else?
Yeah, I think we will, and we always do, but I think it's very frustrating for people watching the game.
Yeah, I agree. It is, and we need to continue to work at it. I don't know whether coaches are the best people to go to, though, to be perfectly honest, to get a solution to it.
No, look, I think we should listen, but the whole idea is, isn't it to listen to all the people? Like, if you're making a decision, shouldn't you draw on as much intelligence as you possibly can and be as informed as you possibly can before you make those decisions?
Well, that's what Stephen Hawking's been doing since he got in the chair, Wisp. That's his whole mantra. He has taken on and had meetings. I've been to them myself where you sit there and they talk you through stuff and they take feedback. So I guess what it points to is that there's no easy fix to this. It's just an ongoing challenge for everyone in footy to try and make sure we get the best spectacle we can.
That's true. That's what we're all endeavouring to do. And Tim, why are Channel 7 presenters above the rules for general society? No, we're not, JC. It's teachers don't have to wear a mask, and people that are considered part of the essential service, which are broadcasters, those people that are presenting the news, they're not required to wear a mask either. That's what the government says.
A break. Jared Waitley up next.